Bob pointed out, that was put in by free conference.
I checked the book, Mr. Chairman, and that's where it came up at.
Yeah, I remember doing, being stuck in there.
Okay, page 79.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee, on my recommendation, after discussing, after I discussed this Civil Air Patrol budget very thoroughly with the Department of Military Affairs, as part of some work I did and also the legislative audit, got back with these people, and they, in effect, revised, the dollar amount is the same, but they revised the line item apportionment of their money to show really where it's going to be spent. And the subcommittee adopted the 321.9, but it's distributed as follows. Personal services of 22.9, travel of 7.0, contractual 175.4, commodities 89.9, equipment 17.0, and grants and claims of 9.7.
9.7?
Yes, sir. I can explain this if anyone wants me to give some detail on this. But this redistribution is in line with the agency's request as a result of the audit, some other little talks we've had with them.
Is this the part of the budget for the rescue squads, other than it says Civil Air Patrol? The rescue squads, several of them around the state, come in for a certain amount of state aid. Is this where they appear?
No, sir.
Any idea? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but this is not it. This is strictly the Civil Air Patrol itself.
Thank you.
Was this... What is it? I see the justification here on the page for the administrative assistant, the new body. What is this guy really going to do? I mean, is that something?
Well, try to avoid the situation that came up this summer by having somebody write in the Civil Air Patrol itself, trying to directly tell these people what is a legitimate expenditure and what isn't. They had this past spring. Well, right after the legislature left, came to my attention that in effect in Fairbanks, they were told that they couldn't spend any money for certifying their pilots because they didn't have any money. Well, I looked into the budget, come to find out that they hadn't spent any. You gave them $18,000 last year. They also had roughly $5,000 worth of fuel, which, as it turns out, probably was used by the pilots themselves without charging it, or without CAP billing them for it. And it was really a mess that had gone on in Fairbanks. Well, I find out it's pretty much statewide. But it's a volunteer organization, and they had no one with any administrative background and any responsibility to the state or anyone else that they could lean on to actually enforce state administrative procedures. And the purpose of this position is to do that.
In your opinion, is it necessary?
Yes, sir. And I would recommend to the committee, I do believe the subcommittee adopted the intent that the new position be placed under the authority of the Director of Administrative Services, Department of Military Affairs.
Okay.
The alternative would have been to, in fact, place this position under the volunteer who's in charge of CAP, which wouldn't have helped the project at all as far as fiscal integrity.
Okay. Any further questions on CAP? Next matter will be civil defense planning.
On page 83, Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee took the governor's figures.
Maybe we should fund them every other year. Year we use the yes.
Yeah, a year.
Question year.
Every leap year.
I have no objection, we can zero it out as far as I'm concerned.
What is, is this a, what's a matching fund, what's the federal, contribution here? Looks like it was one-to-one match FY '77, then we got an imbalance coming out since then, what year?
Well, part of that, in fact, most of the mismatch at this point is in personal services for positions that have brought on, been brought on. I'm not aware, I didn't spend a lot of time in this budget, but I'm not aware that their actual ratio has gone down as much as that they've expanded in prior years. And also the personal services have become more general fund money.
I think it's
like a lot of these programs, it's slowly but surely the Fed's going to back out. Or at least reduce to a minimum their participation.
What the hell do these guys do, Bob? I mean, there's 17 people in this. Civil defense plan. What the hell do they do?
Well, they've got a state coordination for civil defense. It's different from disaster planning itself, but it's in the disaster office. But they work in conjunction with the National Guard. They advise communities, help communities set up civil defense plans when they're asked to.
You ever see this sign down here, Steve?
Yeah.
That's your shelter?
That's part of it, right there.
What? Shelter from what?
Hold on,
this one we've got.
I don't
know.
Enola
Gay.
Okay.
We're
falling up from the Enola Gay. Well,
alright.
How did it happen?
Very much. It's 40 or 87 or
85. The subcommittee took the governor's budget again.
This is the one that goes around here, the radioactivity or pollutants.
They would. They were quite active when that plane popped its cargo bay up there at Anchorage. It was last year, wasn't it? There's so before that. Get out there and with their tick-ticks and make sure nobody gets contaminated.
Apparently there's a lot of radiation in some of these airplanes that more than more people don't know about.
Okay.
Page 87.
Page 87, the subcommittee took the governor's amount on this also.
City participation.
It's Anchorage.
Here the subcommittee again took the governor's budget.
Disaster
Relief Act, subcommittee took the governor's budget.
National Guard is rich, all right. 97 is the National Guard.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I have here, we did some rearranging on the request by Representative Kelly. Kelly is here.
Which one? Is this the Assistant AG position?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, this position has been in the National Guard just about since its inception. It's in effect the Deputy Commissioner's job in the Department of Military Affairs for the Air National Guard. The other one, of course, is the Army National Guard. The Army National Guard position is filled by Brigadier General William Sherrill. The Senate cut out the funding for the position last year because it hadn't been filled in 2 years. There's an obvious problem for that. Statutorily, the Alaska National Guard Officers Association came in a few years back and put in some job security for themselves that said that you had to be a senior officer in the Air National Guard for a period of 5 years to be eligible to accept this position. Considering there's only 110 officers in the Air National Guard, and there's not all that many senior grade, field grade officers, senior grade officers, and the ones that they do have are either already working for the federal government and aren't willing to give up a pension or they're out for making careers in other areas, there was just nobody available to take this position. So they haven't been able to fill it. The last guy that had it, a guy named Nelson, was kicked out because he hadn't fulfilled the statutory requirements, had a big argument and kicked him out. The guy who held it before that was Seaborn Buckle, who was now under Governor Egan, who's now a judge. The position is important to Alaska because he's the state's guy. The Alaska Air National Guard is pretty much federally funded as opposed to the Army Guard, which gets a few more state bucks. And the only way we can keep that money coming into the state is to go back to Washington and fight for it during budget time. Everyone knows how that works. And this is Alaska's guy, and we have a guy now that can take the position. He has a position militarily. In the Guard, you're assigned a military position, and then if you work for him as a permanent employee, you also have a civilian occupation, which normally coincides. And there is a colonel now in the Air National Guard who is in the position as the Brigadier General, and we'd like to, and he retired as a federal employee at the end of December, and the National Guard would like to bring him on board if this position is funded. They did request the funding from the governor's office, and the governor's office didn't see fit to fund it.
What'd you say about federal funding?
The Alaska National Guard is pretty much funded by federal funds. We've got 10 C-130 aircraft out there at Coolis, and that's almost all of their technician positions, or the real majority of their technician positions, their equipment, their buildings out there, are built on federal funds. In order to keep those funds coming, you know, there's competition for money on the national level, just like there is on the state level. In order to keep that money coming into Alaska, we've got to have a guy who knows what the hell's going on. This guy that they're going to put in there now, this is the state's representative, as opposed to, you know, just another federal employee still trying to get promotions out of Washington, D.C.
Well, we had a couple of senators on the appropriations committee.
Well, as you know, Mr. Chairman, any help we can give them back there, they appreciate it.
Well, we did, Mr. Chairman. We allowed, the subcommittee allowed the position with the following intent, is that if the position is not filled by the 1st of October of this year, then the funds would lapse.
Rather, we need to worry.
Mr. Chairman mentioned that most of the funding for this activity comes from the federal government, yet I don't see where it's shown on page 97. I'm still on page 97. And all the other activities generally is from a general fund.
That's okay, that's the state headquarters. If you move over to the Air National Guard budget, uh-huh. Is on which page?
Well, there is one airplane support from that.
Page 105 has got air training support.
Okay.
This guy, in effect, is a division head, you know, and because they had nobody to fill the position and they couldn't go outside to fill it. They weren't able to, and so they didn't. And that was the reason the Senate cut it down last year.
Mr. Chairman, didn't we just pass out that bill on the scholarship loan program for National Guard folks?
RFQC.
Yeah, but aren't they having a problem with recruiting and getting people staying in their activity there?
Yeah, well, the problem is there's no war going on right now, and it's hard to get
a
people
real involved. Just
you gotta even force them in there, wasn't it?
They'll have one here in a few years.
They got one now.
well, I just wondered why we have to increase a program that is really not doing a lot of activity. We can increase it when there is a need for it, but when there is a decline, I think we should follow the natural pattern. But here I am being conservative with this budget. I don't need to be.
There is an objection to the subcommittee report. All in favor of the subcommittee report, raise your hand.
What did the subcommittee report? Did you include Mr. Kelly's request in your report?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. We included the additional $55,000.
Subcommittee recommendation is 1098.1. Okay. All in favor of the subcommittee recommendation, raise your hand. All opposed? Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
what happened?
Your personal services then would become 752.7,
okay,
and your travel would become 37.9. Total 1098.1 and 24 permanent full-time positions.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee basically took the governor's budget, but they added in the what in effect activates the 4th Battalion in southeastern Alaska. And they approved this maintenance man wage grade in Juneau position, which is part of this unit. They also approved $8,200 in travel for this maintenance man to go around southeast and maintain armories. 88.9 over and above the base budget for contractual, 6.2 for commodities, and 3.0 for equipment. Now that's not the total budget. This was the approved over and above to fund the southeast 4th Battalion. That gives you a total the subcommittee of 299.9 in personal services.
Read it again.
299.9 personal services. 287 in travel.
28.7.
28.7, yes, ma'am. 381.8 in contractual. 70.8 in commodities. 8.3 in equipment. 132.8 in lands and buildings, and 19.0 in the miscellaneous, a total of 941.3 and 12 permanent full-time positions.
All right, I got a question. Why is it considered to be in the best interest of the state to activate a presently inactive National Guard battalion?
Mr. Chairman, the reason that the subcommittee entertain those figures is, again, on request by Representative Kelly, I think. Mr. Gilligan.
Mr. Chairman, the Guard has been trying for a long time to establish another scout battalion down in the southeast area of the state. They just established a third battalion up in the Kotzebue Bethel area, I think, last year, the year before. The plan, they have the approval of the federal government. The federal government would like to see the unit established, and what we're doing is trying to provide some feed money to be eligible for a bonanza in federal funds. The plan is to establish new units in Angoon, Cordova, Haines, Hoonah, Cake, Metlakatla, Petersburg, and Wrangell, and beefing up the existing units in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. They're talking basically in terms of a boat battalion, and they're going to get 10 LCMs down, MARC class from the federal government, and an LCM MARC class is 100 foot lighter. And the federal government will supply the boats. They will put in with 100% federal funding the armories in these new units, and they will infuse about $1 million a year in terms of federal technician salaries and unit drill pay into the southeast area of the state. And I think that this is a real, I think that we can look at this in terms of investment. For $135,000 this year, we're going to have a considerable amount of federal money coming into the southeast area for years to come. That, of course, is in addition to the general justifications you can give to the National Guard.
And what would that be?
Well, of course, we always have to be aware that, you know, at any time we could be put into a conflict, and particularly here in Alaska, being stuck out there and the obvious invasion route for anybody wishing to come into North America. We always have to be prepared to defend ourselves, and while we don't like to be paranoid about it, we like to keep a trained corps throughout the state.
I wasn't trying to be facetious there, Tim. I just wanted to hear what you were saying on that. As a matter of fact, I used to call it the National Guard. Is there further comment on the recommendation?
It is, Mr. Chairman, it is assured then that the funds will be coming from the federal government, not from from state general fund?
No. The technicians will be federally funded. The army, the armories in these new units will be 100% federally funded. Mm-hmm. And so what we will get, in fact, is federal money. So your answer, the answer is yes.
Is there a move in the federal Congress to try to consolidate the National Guard with the Army and Air Force Reserve?
Yeah, they're talking about that. Of course, the National Guard opposes it. The National Guard's position is that it's a state organization, and it shall not be run by the feds. You know, as the feds put up more and more of the money, of course, they have more and more of the control. But to this point, the states have successfully fought off any melding together of the two, and it appears that there are enough states, more than enough states out there that feel that the National Guard should be under control of the states, that it won't happen. I should add that the National Guard has become considerably more professional over the last 20 years. There's a lot more federal standards being applied now than used to be. The political changes and in a change of administration in the National Guard don't go down to nearly the level that they used to go down to in the old days. When you'd have a change of administration, you know, that everybody from a company commander on up would change. And in this day and age, it's pretty well limited to your policy making personnel at the state level. So the Guard has become a much more a professional organization. It's much better trained than it has been in recent years. And so looking at it from that light, I think that you're not going to see those two get together like that.
All right. Okay. There, Leo
Rhodes. I just have a question. For this $131,100 added to this budget, what do you figure the federal government put into it?
Well, the department told me that we could expect about $1 million a year. Once it got cooking, once we had all the armories built, once we had all the technicians on board, federal technicians, we could expect about $1 million a year in terms of weekend salaries and technician salaries. We're talking about a battalion of 360 men and women, my dad. The Guard has thrown his gate open.
My old lady.
We're also talking about 100-foot boats that will be available in case of emergencies for running supplies around. We have very little lighterage capability in the state, actually. It wouldn't be a bad idea, as a general principle, to have some lighters floating around down here.
Good fish dogs.
Okay. Is there further comment on the recommendation? There is objection to the recommendation. Bob, did you get some? All in favor of subcommittee recommendation, raise your hand. All opposed?
I understand my word about anchoring.
On page 101, Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee took the governor's budget.
Okay. This, what is the clerk typist in there on general clerk?
Okay, this, this position is requested as clerical support for three positions which were transferred from the adjutant general's offices to Camp Carroll. They took three professionals, in fact, they were officers. They didn't transfer any clerical help with them, however, from the adjutant general's office, which is why they're asking for it to be put in here.
Why don't they put it in adjutant general's office?
Yeah. It's clerical support for these three people who were transferred out, basically.
Plant industry, page 113, was also the governor's recommendation.
113.
Okay, page 115 was also the governor's recommendation. Governor's recommendation on 117.
This is, are we on 117?
Yes, we are.
These two positions are sanitarian and clerk type. What are they?
Senator Tillis.
Correct.
Last year, Mr. Chairman, the Senate broke this unit out of the Department of Health and Social Services and brought it in here. And in the transfer, a sanitarian position was chopped out.
That's right. That's a guy Ted didn't want to kill.
Yeah. Well, he's gone. He's not. I don't know where he's at, but he's not on the state payroll and anything related to this anymore. So I guess the job was accomplished. Now, the problem that the agricultural inspection unit has is that when this thing was transferred, they didn't bring any clerical help. And Doc Hunsinger does not have the capability down there to take care of these people with their reports and stuff.
Okay.
Page 119 was the governor's recommendation. Page 123 was the governor's recommendation.
Chairman, could I ask a
question on 119?
Please do.
Well, that's fire safety, what are we talking about?
State Fire Marshal. 119.
Right.
Go ahead and explain that, I don't know.
State Fire Marshal.
Right, yeah.
That's been a subject of about three go-arounds with the Liquor Knowledge Committee.
It has. Extended incidentally to back when the Van Gelder Hotel episode took place.
Isn't this the one that where they go in and inspect the?
Close them down.
Inspect them and see. I think there's some, but the Anchorage inspectors, they have come to my business office one time. Do they do that to homes too, in the past? Or just business offices?
Public buildings.
Public buildings?
Public buildings, yeah.
Or private?
Schools.
Private buildings?
I don't know, I've kind of lost touch with them the last 6 months or so, but at one time they had some dogmatic, slavish dedication to whatever the regulations were, and, you know, the brick was out of place and it cost $40 million. I don't know, they were. At one time, you know, they said, said they were doing a great job, and they had that Van Gelder Hotel and the budget and audit jumped all over. And then they started condemning everything in the whole state. Next thing we know, we got a whole sheaf of bills for $3 or $4 million apiece to fix up public buildings, and many of which were just, much of them were just a lot of baloney. I don't know.
Mr. Freeman, do you have any?
No.
Problems with that?
You think you didn't give them any new people?
No.
No.
Okay, we're, page 123 was the governor's recommendation, driver services. Vehicle services is also the governor's recommendation. 127 was also the governor's recommendation. 129 was governor's recommendation. 131 is governor's recommendation. Can you explain 131?
Well, you said the governor's budget.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Page 135 was also the governor's. Okay, 139 was the governor's recommendation.
The rest is debt service.
You can reduce that, I guess.
The weights? Yeah, it has increased, why is that? In the maintenance, on these weights, legal enforcement.
What's the question?
Well, some time ago, I wonder if this is the place, maybe it's another budget.
What page are you on?
On page 139, where they were supposed to have been a decline, and then there, I see that their maintenance budget is up, and the request is up, and the governor cut it down slightly. I thought this project was declining because of the lack of pipeline construction.
Last year, you'll find that between fiscal year 78 and 79 budget, they've acquired six new positions. This is grants per in. And by and large, it takes into account the increase from 78 to 79. Most of it is transferred from Highway Maintenance and Department of Transportation to the tune of, well, it's the overweight, overwidth division there of $234,000, basically. This particular group was doing a lot of work on trailers. Mobile homes was being transported. Now, in relation to your comment upon workload going down, I do not find any data in the budget that would argue with you or support you. They're very incomplete in their statistics.
Okay, did we leave anything open now?
Just that one.
Just page five. What did we leave open now?
I don't remember what it was.
I don't have the one marked. I went through the.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. And we didn't leave anything.
No.
That was in.
Is that it?
That's, yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
The size of it. Yeah.
What you did do was to ask me to find out if the Uniform Commercial Code Group has been deducted from Department of Administration budget.
That's right. Okay.
That was on page 45. That's the only one that I can count for as being undecided at this time.
Yeah. Okay. And that plumber's thing can come back to page 20. All right. Okay, while we're here then, the public protection and development is the only thing we've got along with the University of Plaster. Development isn't quite finished at this time. Jim and Bob Grogan are working together, but I'd like to, Dave, the University of Alaska budget is, we discussed this earlier, and I guess we, like I said before, we got a couple of alternatives. We can either adopt an open, just an overall general fund figure and let it go at that, or we can try to hassle through it on a little data that we've got. Apparently the shortfall is going to be till April the 1st or something.
Yeah, we're having a hearing set aside April 3rd, so I promise them that. I think I can have shortfall early next week.
I'd like to caucus later on this week. Well, here's the way I'd like to proceed anyhow. I don't know if it will work or not, but it seems to me we've got a are you ready to go? Well,
yeah, no, I'm ready.
Oh, all right.
Are you
okay.
Ready for me?
Yeah.
Got it. Give me just right time, huh?
Yeah. You came here. Okay, development is ready. Dave, we might as well discuss that while Jim's getting his thing together
to do it.
Okay. What I suggest is this. We've got a couple of budget general fund figures that we can work with. The one adopted by the governor is 70.8. In that budget is 1.3, I mean, not in that budget, is $1.3 million that we just have to spend because the administration just apparently just blatantly ignored it, I don't see any other way of avoiding it. I'd like to do this. I'd like to suggest, anyway, that we adopt a figure of $72.1 million, that's 70.8 plus 1.3. General fund for the university, pending receipt of better information, and that we actually have hearings here and write the budget for the instruction of the free conference committee. In other words, if we do this properly, or if you committee would like, a pre-conference committee, can just sit down with Dave and work something out. But I don't want to do anything that the committee doesn't approve of in the pre-conference.
Could you run that by again, Steve?
Well, we can't write the university budget. We're not going to be able to do it until at the very earliest, sometime probably late next week. We want to go to caucus Thursday and Friday. What I'd suggest is that we just pick a number. And, you know, in a practical matter, until, I guess, Dave or Philip, the auditors finish up, we wouldn't know where and what the hell they did with everybody last night.
All right, you have a question?
You mean an overall?
No, just for my history, Southeast.
Yeah, I am.
Well, I think everybody's going to have that kind of thing, and it just depends on what the committee wants to do. What I was going to suggest is that we adopt nothing but a general fund figure right now and send it to the Senate and see if we can work it out to give the three conferees instructions on what to do when we go in there.
You mean new programs will be proposed in pre-conference?
By the pre-conference committee. The Senate will have to understand that. They do. That we've either got to sit on the thing until we get the information, or we've got to pass it over. I'm willing to do either one, but I'd help watch run the Senate budget and the caucus this week.
So where do we make our case for the new program?
Through the pre-conference. Johnny has to agree to that. He will.
Sometimes you program in, if you got it in, try to convince them to put it in.
Well, we've got an overall figure for it.
Yeah, right, but I'm talking about new programs.
It wouldn't be with, you know, it wouldn't prejudice the new programs one way or the other. We're not writing a budget, it's just what I'm saying. You can either leave it out.
What I'm saying is that the House comes in with a new program, sometimes it's either keep it in and try to convince the Senate in pre-conference to put it in there.
Well, okay, we can do...
I mean, I don't know if that's...
We got to hold the budget bill until we do something with the University of Alaska. We can't send the bill over to the Senate without doing something with the university. If we leave it out of the budget, we'll be explaining it for the rest of our lives that we didn't mean really to defund the university. I mean, it'll be the greatest scream that you ever heard. And we'll be explaining it until 1990. So, we got two choices, really. We got to either put a lump sum in there, the general fund, what we regard as appropriate general fund appropriation of the university, or we got to work out the whole budget. And we're not going to have the figures until at least the middle of next week.
How much this wild ass scheme you've got going on?
It's only $50,000.
How much?
50.
I think it's safe to say a lot of people have got
what I need.
Well, we've come to agreement.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, Dave? One thing you might consider doing, and I'm going to suggest the same thing to the Senate Committee, and go through in detail, is that you might consider picking a figure, like that's such a 72-3 that the chairman picked out, and identify to the Senate as you send the budget across that you intend, in free conference time, to implement a salary savings program, which would free up $1.6 million within that figure for you to work with.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what all your all. I guess not. I understand what everybody's saying. The problem is, in pre-conference, some of us won't be there to advocate a program. It's a little bit difficult sometimes to convince the Senate, I think, to put something in more than it is to keep it from taking it out. It's already there.
I could convince two of the conferees on my program, and it has merit. How about yours?
I don't know. Well, I think we'll have to have hearings on it later on and write what the conferee's position. You can instruct the conferees to hold the line. I think we've got that this committee should endorse a position on it in detail, and we'll have to write a budget. But we're not going to have the information until next week, and we're probably not going to write it until week after next. And you know, we want to hold the budget that long, we can, but we don't.
What kind of figure would you mentioned a while ago.
I said 72.1, but I don't even, you know, I'm not married to that. What that was a 70.8 adopted by the governor plus 1.3 for opening those new buildings on the Anchorage campus that we can't avoid. We have to do that. So that's where that figure came from. I don't, that making difference what it is, it'd be 72.5 or 71.5 or anything.
I think that'd be a reasonable approach to maybe 72 million, that ought to cover everything. Just around figures.
Well, as long as I understand that we're gonna come back here to committee and write the budget.
Well, it's weird, but I don't know of any other way to do it. Unless we wanna sit on the budget for another couple of weeks, you know, wait for that information.
Well, okay, the only, I have a little bit of problem, because I've got some vibrations of what the university is gonna do, the Board of Regents is gonna do the southeast. It's not good.
Okay.
I hate to give up the university budget knowing that April 1st they're gonna come out with a recommendation, which in my mind is gonna do the southeast.
Well, I don't know what, you know, they're gonna do, but.
What do they plan to do?
A couple of regions. Plan on cutting out the four-year university here in southeast.
A couple of regions.
Yeah, but one of those regions, both of them are no good.
He almost let one of them get away.
Well, I think it's the committee's decision, you know.
But this is a question, Steve. How close have we come to getting control on by what we did last year?
The answer, Ernie, is if they had obeyed the law, we would have. But instead of that, they went out and transferred appropriations. We don't know what the hell they did with the money. They claim that they didn't know what the law was. Then in the next breath, they say they've got a great lawyer. Anyway, we don't know what they did with the money. And I think once Dave's put together a short form, then we'll have something we can work with. Go ahead and write a budget, which I'd intend to do right here in the same way that we've written these, and whatever the committee approves, I'll cart that into the free conference, and I'll show it to Johnny and tell him that's what our position is. And, you know, whatever, if the committee approves, for instance, Jim's request, then that'll be our position in the free conference.
If it's in order, I'll move we adopt the university budget, the tentative budget for $72 million. General fund money. So we get the thing moving.
Okay. Okay, is there discussion of that motion?
What was the figure you said?
I said 72.1, but I don't
72.1.
I can't make it.
Well, 72.1.
Okay.
The governor's is 70.8.
Yeah, Thelma, but he didn't put in that 1.3 to the Anchorage campus that we absolutely have to do. So we added, that was where that figure came from, 70.8 plus a
1.3. 1.3. I do have one more request. Later on, which is about
$50,000,
but that's a very small
bet. Well, what I'd propose that we do is, as soon as Dave gets the short forms and things together, something we can actually go with and figures we can rely on, then we sit down and have the same kind of hearing that we should be having right now on the university budget, put the figures together, say this is the House position, and by golly, the free conference will be bound by that. It's just as though that was free. And we'll send that information over to Johnny at that time. I've broached that subject with him, and he's agreeable to doing things that way. I don't think that we have to worry about the rug being pulled out from under us, like that.
Would you be considered having the university here during the second round?
People we want,
because they're going to be in town for the 4th and the 7th, as well as their own board.
Okay.
The 4th and 5th, for example.
Okay.
they could be here, and I have shortfalls that too, but, okay. I see, just tell you the time. All right, for 5th and 6th of August.
Does that, okay, do people have objections or reservations to that motion? I know it's unusual to do things that way. Okay, if not, that motion will be adopted. Be a figure of $72.1 million in general funds approved in the University of Alaska. We'll write the budget later, pre-conference will be bound in the same manner that we'd be bound to the House Commission in any event.
What your plans now are, get the operating budget wrapped up and down to conference, what's your plans in the capital budget?
Well, that's also a matter for the committee to decide, but what John and I talked about doing, and I'm not, you know, it's really a caucus decision, you know, even more than it is a committee's, but was to write the capital budget for 2nd.
Do it, Rob? I didn't hear what you said.
Would be to write the capital budget in a separate bill. The whole thing.
And when would that be?
Whenever you want to do it. Mm-hmm. Start next week.
For example, some of the operating, some of the capital operating tied together a little bit.
Yeah. Here's what the problem we've got is with the capital budget. It's hard to put together a capital budget until we know what the bonding situation with the capital budget is going to be, because that's going to limit the number of general fund GO bonds that we're going to be able to float, or so everybody says, everybody being the bond consultants and so forth. They say there will be a limited factor. Well, we don't know how much it's going to be because we don't know how much the bonds for capital move is going to be. So we decide that we're not going to be able to figure out how many bonds we can safely float on the market. If it's 275 now, we could put out $275 million worth of bonds, but if we've got, you know, $600 million or $1 billion or something like that in capital move bonds out there, it's going to reduce our ability to fund. So therefore, those projects are going to have to be picked up right in the general fund, as far as I'm concerned. I'd be damned if I think needed capital projects in the state going to have to await the capital move before they fund it. So we don't, in any event, we're going to have a large capital appropriation bill somewhere down the line. I don't see, as a.
There goes our hydroelectric.
Why? As a policy matter, it might be better to split them off anyway. I think the public ought to understand the difference between operating budget and capital budget.
I haven't seen it.
Understand it's two separate things. Anyway, this is just a suggestion.
The problem is that they know, it's not in opposition to the proposal, but it's a problem that keeps running around in my mind is, again, there's the capital budget and the bonding, I kind of have a problem too if there's one or two little items that I prefer to go with the capital budget, but it's, you know, if it isn't feasible, naturally the next shot's the bond, and I don't want to cut myself out from both of them.
Well, what I think is, Oral, that we've got to take all of that. What I'd like to do anyway, this most orderly process that I know of, is to take the bond issues together with the capital request, take them all up at once and figure out what ought to go in the general fund and what ought to go in a bond issue. we decide to go there. The people here already know that I don't think we ought to keep bonding for those projects. You know, I think we all ought to be paid for that. But I ain't gonna, if people don't agree with that, I'm not gonna kick and scream, but maybe we can have a slow phase of turnover in that process. But I think definitely that the small capital projects ought to be put in, you know, that bill. And there's some little stuff in the budget that's always, you know, when you get like down to the capital. Well, we don't have to make a decision. I just like for people to think about it. We don't have to make a decision now. Can we do development? I got a lot of sidelong glances.
This won't take very long.
Agree and make it genius.
Development budget was even tighter than general government. But.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay. First one is Tokyo office. And seeing how this always generates lots of discussion, I recommend the governor stay here and let Thalma discuss it because she said she had a proposal on this. You know, in the past, it's been very difficult to substantiate what they really do, and it still is. I think Thalma had a proposal.
Okay. Mushy Mushy, I want to tell you about it. I have this here a correspondence. We've been exchanging correspondence with Mr. Katsuyama. In our Tokyo office, if you recall, they're having a problem because the location is very difficult to find. But I'll read to you a section of a letter which Mr. Katsuyama says, the reason why we are in that office is this. We chose this area because we couldn't find the key money to renew our lease at the former location or near the American Embassy, and secondly, because it is easy to find for our Japanese friends. As for Alaskan visitors, we depended upon a phone call that could lead us to their hotel, and if desired, we could bring them to the office. What has happened is, when I was there, and I looked for the place in 75, I couldn't find the place. It's not listed in any directory. And it was really almost difficult, but when I was there last December, I did find the place. Only the taxi driver took me around and around town quite a bit, because it is a very complicated thing to find the office in the location where it is now. My understanding is that when you go and rent an office in Tokyo, you have to pay key money, which is a money that would guarantee that you're not going to take off and leave the landlord in a lurch. The key money usually depends upon the space that you rent. For instance, they what they call a one sumo, which is equivalent to 3.3 square meters, rents depending on the location. There is a suggestion that perhaps they should locate closer to the American Embassy, where a lot of the activity of visitors from the United States and from Alaska usually wind up visiting. The location is a very expensive location, as all locations in Japan are expensive. The present location now, by dividing the amount from their money to our money, amounts to the following. The present rental now is about $1,443.75. Administration and utilities, $363.75. And cleaning, 84, I guess, custodial, $84.33, which is $1,891.83 a month. The office as we have it is in a back room of an apartment building. I think it's in the third or the fifth floor, not exactly sure. And it's just like an apartment building. You go in there and you have to find your way in. to the tiny elevators that they have. And you go in there and you see a big sign which says, Office of the Governor, State of Alaska. And you go in there and there's a main room, then Mr. Katsuyama's room, and a little room for the secretary. And it's furnished in the Alaskan motif. There is a polar bear rug on the floor and some little trinkets from the state of Alaska. And you know that you are in an Alaskan office in a foreign country. There are three people working there, Mr. Katsuyama and his assistant, and another lady who does the Xeroxing and answering the phones. They're all bilingual, Mr. Katsuyama being from Canada, Japanese from Canada, and Mitsuko Rakaki, who is his assistant, and the other lady, they're all bilingual, and they speak English rather fluently. I think the problem is this, that the office is not being utilized readily by Alaskans. Anyone who goes to Alaska who has no connection with fisheries or the timber industry may never find the office, because it's very hard to find. What Senator Tillian and I have been talking about, since Senator Tillian has been there several times, is that we should try to relocate the office closer to the industrial business section of town, rather than, you know, just in this apartment complex where, although the Japanese people do find it because they live there, the Alaskan visitor and businessman has a difficulty, would have difficulty finding the place. I think, though, that if we consider moving the place, we are going to have to pay what they call the key money. Initially, the key money would be the one that suggested here is about $58,000. They will not refund this money until you vacate the property. There is an alternative where if you move into a place, you have to give them a 6-month notice. And that's another problem. There is one place that may be available which is not as big, and you don't have to pay the key money, but you have to pay a full year's rent in advance each time. The rent isn't too bad. The one that's being suggested here, which is a very small, really a very small office, maybe about 2 rooms, is about $28,240. The rent in our Tokyo office right now, the 3 rooms that I mentioned, according to this information I got, is $22,901.96. That is the annual rent that you pay there. And this is where I always felt there's something that we have to do, particularly because the activity is not just, it's not a very, very extensive activity between the people of Alaska and the Tokyo office. It's just very little that they are doing now. Unless we expand the program, I am almost positive that I can't recommend keeping it open, although I'm sure the governor's office will disagree and Senator Tillian will disagree. And to this, for these reasons, I think the House will have to respond in a positive way in keeping the office, but redoing its activity, because right now it's not as effective as it should be. Mr. Katsuyama, really a very effective businessman in his own right. However, I don't think that he's spending as much time in the office as he should, or doing the public relations that he should do for the state. And although he can gear up a lot of support and interest, and can he has some connection in the Japanese government, whenever I think a public official from Alaska wants to meet with a minister, fisheries or finance in Tokyo, that they seem to be able to connect with one another. But we should consider moving the office, because while it's there and people know about it, most everyone just have no idea. The amount we're talking about, the $116,000 that the governor budgeted, in terms of its rate of exchange in Japan is just about right, or maybe even not enough. Dollar has fallen quite a bit in Japan. It's gone down to about 300 yen for $1 at times. When I was there, it went as far as, well, it went down to 370 yen for $1, and it went up to 465, I think that was a good day, and it never went up there again. But that's true, everything is so expensive in Japan, and if we are going to spend this kind of money, we really should think about redoing the Tokyo office. First, we have to establish, is it the governor's office in Tokyo, or is it the state of Alaska's office in Tokyo? And if it's the state of Alaska's office, then we should change the personal policies and the kind of business that they do, and open it to everyone, not just businessmen, but tourists, and give them the opportunity to visit the state. So far, it isn't that way, and this is why I'm having problems.
Mr. Freeman.
Could we go back to square one? Why should we have an office in Tokyo? Why don't we have one in
Norway
or London? No. Why? I got a big string of whys written down here. That's an honest question. I don't.
It was established many years because of our relationship with Japan and many of our trade type things.
Okay, I'll buy that. Tell me the advantage.
Well, see, that's what we've always tried to substantiate in the past. You know, we've asked for records of what they've done and this and that. They have so many visitors and all this, but you can't really quantitatively, I think,
personally
pin it down.
Personally, I don't know. Senator Tillian likes to go to Tokyo and likes to go to Tokyo office, but my question is, what the hell good does that say to Alaska? And, you know, I'm just asking the questions. I'm not saying they're not there. I just don't know the answer.
I would make this observation. The economic policies in Japan and business policies are really set by the government and those big corporations together. What used to be Zaibatsu, but I don't know what you're going to call them now. If a company wants to do business, a company that operates in Alaska wants to do business in Japan, the company almost has to, in order to set up some kind of a marketing system, almost has to touch base with the government there at some point. And to have a guy there to make those connections, there is a pecking order that has to be observed there. You can't just crash in and call a guy and say you want to see Minister of Finance or whatever. And I don't know whether it does us any good or not, but if an Alaskan concern wants to do business in Japan and touch base with people in the finance ministry or the Ministry of Economics, or even a high-ranking official Mitsui or any of the other big corporations, it's damn hard to do without a contact.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't it be reasonable to assume, though, number one, that if we're going to do business with Japan, if we're going to sell them something, the first thing we have to do is to have somebody there that's interested in buying it, and if they're interested in buying it, wouldn't they have the connections to get us wherever we need to go as far as the government's concerned?
I don't know. I think it might be a matter of establishing the initial contact. If you wanted to sell something in Japan, who would you go to? I don't really know. But this, you know, I know that we brought this up three or four times in the previous year. Justification, I thought, was pretty well set out the first time. That might have been 3 or 4 years ago, the last time I heard the spiel.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I come from the community that has one hell of a lot of contact with Japan, but, and there may have been something, part of it done through the Tokyo governor's Tokyo office, but I doubt it very seriously. I suspect that it's because the people in Japan, we had something that they wanted to sell, and you know, that the governor's office in Tokyo was not really what made the difference. And if I, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm willing to go along with that, but.
You got a company that has a history, in other words, LP dealt with Japan before. Some of these entities just haven't worked.
Yeah, well, I don't know what we did just before I left to go get me a cup of coffee. I made a remark about Denmark. I don't know, Mr. Chairman, is there anything in our somewhere in other budget where we're going to do anything in Denmark?
I haven't seen any mention of Denmark.
Well, then maybe in this is just a suggestion that if we are, looks like we're headed to do business with the Danes on our bottom fishery. It looks like we're probably headed that way a little bit. Then I would add some to this budget and split the difference using both of them. Then they would be in competition with us. Maybe they would take a little more notice of taking care of Alaska. I would not want to see the office cut out.
Jim? I was just going to suggest, I think that perhaps the governor's looking at this and he's going to come in with a $300 million some kind of proposal. I don't think we want to cut it out either. I'm not sure we want to expand it. I would suggest perhaps we just accept the governor's figure and let, you know, if they come up with something well justified, they can do their expansion in the Senate.
I'll say this, that a lot of states, a lot of other states have got trading, have got trade delegations in other countries. California does, I know. I don't know whether it does make a difference or not, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't know whether they really do any good or not, but if it's done right, it could be a good operation. Anyway, Ms. Buck.
Another information that I found is that the Division of Tourism may want to get involved here, and maybe portions of the funding could be interagency receipts that could be used for this, because actually what is being trying to be developed is that not only the business, selling of our resources, but the tourism industry could be enhanced by this office. And in line with that, I think there has been some communications of the governor's office with the Tokyo office, and asking them to become more involved in the tourism industry. So maybe portions of the funding could come from that. I do have some ideas that maybe I'd like to, I'd like to get this body to accept some intent, but it bears more discussion. And I think this, since this is really a very small office and this is really a very small budget, and I don't really want to take up all the time, but if you're interested in knowing what the changes I would recommend, having seen the place, I can go and quickly outline them for you.
Okay.
No, it's okay if you're not interested.
Let me suggest that we leave this page open, because I think there's some substantial questions as to whether we ought to have the thing at all. Maybe we ought to bring somebody down and discuss it in full. And if there's another suggestion about the offices, apparently there will be, maybe we ought to leave it open a little while and see if that's forthcoming.
Where will we get somebody come to discuss this?
Well, I would think somebody from the governor's
office
come down and explain it.
I might add it in the journal. I think Bob got a copy of somewhere it was published, which that office had accomplished the last year. There's a report from the office. Anybody interested in that? But it doesn't say anything.
Okay. If there's no objection, then we'll leave this page open and come back to it when we can discuss it more fully. Jim's swift budget.
Okay. Page 5 is just the governor's figure. That's grants that are passed through.
Yep.
Right. Surplus property, no, no thing but maintenance increase, inflation increase, governor's figure. The rest of it's just pages 11, 13, 15, 17, 19, 21 are all shared taxes. And they're just passed through. Right? Page 23, municipal bond bank authority, governor's figure. You might note that there's $500,000 in the capital budget for leverage purposes. You know.
For page 19.
Oh, okay. Put that red good.
19.
Yeah, all those shared taxes are fantastic. They're all governor's figure.
Put up to 23.
Page 23 is governor's recommendation. Page 27. Economic enterprise, general operations, governor's figure. Page 29, we allowed the new position as good to governor, and so that becomes a governor's figure.
9.8. Is this, where is that federal funding coming from?
Oh, it's EDA, all right.
Right, it's EDA money.
Okay. Loan fund administration. Bob, what would we do here? We put in a new position?
We held this one open. Oh. This is the, I'll just recap on this BLU. Last year, the legislature added two positions to serve the various communities you see up listed on the left-hand page. The governor vetoed one of the positions out of the budget, and one was left in there. The guy was stationed in Anchorage, and he got out to about a little better than half of those communities listed there. This year, they're coming back in now and asking for another examiner, this one to be stationed in Fairbanks, presumably to also work in the rural areas. And due to the unusual circumstances involving the governor's veto and so on, the BRU is left open for discussion.
Okay, the communities that they didn't serve in that legislative intent, they did not serve Soldotna, King Salmon, Elam, Cosview, or Unalakleet. Is that correct, Bob?
Which one?
Soldotna, King Salmon, Elam, Cosview, and Unalakleet.
Did they have anything to service out there?
Well, I don't know.
That's the question.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because I don't know how many loans they got in Elam.
Yeah.
To be honest, it could be more than one or
two. Soldotna would have, surely would have a request for this kind of program, Mr. Chairman. Soldotna, Kenai.
Okay.
Well, anyway, they followed the intent somewhat, but they didn't station anybody, they stationed a guy in Anchorage and just sent him out on a visitation program. So I guess the decision we have to make is whether we think that guy can serve the rest of those communities or if they need another one. But did the governor allow this new position, Bob? He did allow it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay, that's what's wrong. The short form shows that the governor did not allow it, but he did allow it.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
That's
basically
the problem.
What's happening is the governor is just reinstating a position that the legislature added and he vetoed last year.
We didn't allow it.
We ought to give him another position.
But, I think we can close this if we have a motion on it.
Okay.
I'll move the position.
Okay.
That's
fine.
That'll be the governor's request. That'll be the governor's figure.
Governor's figure. Right.
All right.
It's a legislative affair.
Right.
Okay,
Veterans Loan Fund, they've requested quite a few new positions here, 9, which the governor allowed, and of course we all know what some of the problems we've had with the loan fund. In fact, just today in budget audit by RP, we approved the RP that established these positions, I think, for fiscal year 78.
No, a portion of them,
I thought there were.
There's some overlap here. Anyway.
Yeah, there's some overlap, I'm not quite sure how many have been established. But apparently the case has been made, I think, pretty well, that they need these positions. So we went with the governor's figure.
How much we got out in veterans loans now? Anybody offhand numbers? We're getting in trouble with that program, aren't we?
I don't know total amount yet.
I don't know what the total amount is. The question came up as to what the delinquency rate on the fund was, and it's 1.9%, which puts it in the better loan fund in that category.
I'm sure of that. I thought it was between 40 and 50 million dollars.
It's probably a sizable amount. Delinquency rate's good.
Huh?
They got a good delinquency rate.
Yeah, well, there's no problem with that, but there's the amount of money that we got in that low collateral. We should have to sell the damn things to get cash on, but we ought to be approved.
Anyway, governor's figure there. Okay, the Department of Commerce Division of Tourism, we allowed the governor's figure. The only thing that we didn't make a final, and I thought the committee might want to address this, if you'll notice the increase in contractual, the governor went from the 734 request level to 834.5. That $100,000, I'm going to recommend we allow it. But what it does is it makes up, there's an advertising program that industry and the state participates in. This is to increase state participation in that program.
What program again? Excuse me.
It's an advertising type program.
Advertising.
Right. The only question about this $100,000 is you'll notice this comes out of other funds, which is out of the Renewable Resources Fund. That's part of that crap that the governor was, at $10 million, I guess, the governor was taking out of the Renewable Resources Fund to fund certain programs.
Make a policy on that.
That's why I didn't make a recommendation on that funding source. I only recommend we do the total figure. Maybe we'll want to put that back to general fund. But I think that's something that I hope the entire committee can address.
Well, we won't have to advertise as people already advertise all over the country that there's free land up here to be had for the taking.
For sure.
I don't see any problem. Okay. Ernie, what about that?
Well, you know, I don't want to question this crap. I'm so sick and tired of the way they've handled that renewable resource bill in the first place. It should be funding tourism, in my opinion.
I don't think you should either.
Well, I think I'm in agreement with that, but that's why I'd like to see that $100,000 in there, but I think maybe we should switch it over to CF.
Okay, do you want to make that motion?
Yes, I'll move the figure of 1604.7 with the 1604.7 being general fund.
Okay.
Give me the figure again.
It's the same as the governor's, 1604.7. The only thing we've done is move the $100,000 out of other funds up to general fund.
Okay. 37.
Energy and power development, governor's figure. Was McConkie's office. He's now doing political things.
What are you doing? This outfit building windmills?
No, no. This is the outfit that they administer a number of them.
This is old
what?
Bill McConkie.
This is the power authority.
No,
this is the governor's campaign manager.
Actually, we did an audit on this one under the cleanest shop in the state.
What did we get for that?
We did an audit on this agency under the cleanest one. Not one exception.
What's
it mean?
What did you get for that 135,000
grand? I was asking the same.
For which one?
That 100 on the intent. What do we get?
That was put in free conference by Senator Holman.
That was to use waste heat from the power plant in Bethel to heat the university. That university building they've got there. Phil, you know what happened to that?
No, I don't.
Did they work that out?
I don't have any proof.
That was what it was for, to convert some of the waste heat into the generation plant down there and to run it into the community college center there and heat it. I don't know whether they did it or whether they didn't or what they did.
The city did receive the grant, got that intent response, but we didn't get any response from our question really to know what the city as to what happened.
Did they just eat the money or what did they do?
Well, the agency was just required to give out the grant. I don't know if they, you know, I've tried to watch over it and I suppose we'd get a report on it if anybody wants it.
I'd like to, Bob, I'd like to follow that up because I don't find out what was done there. I imagine we just call Andy Edge and ask him.
He's a no.
That's right, he's a no. I forgot. Who's doing it? Lyman doing that now?
Lyman Hoffman, City Manager.
Okay.
Andy gonna pick it out?
Anyway, that's why I care about for you.
It's different this year than last year. It's 359.2, we told. Okay, on the power authority, what are we meeting with the executive director tomorrow afternoon for a short period of time, so I.
You want to go with him?
Yeah. What time's he coming down, Bob? 1:30?
1:30.
Is that you?
Yeah.
All right, I was gonna be looking alone, that's probably some reason commission.
What time does that meet?
1:30.
Okay.
I think there are some questions that need to be asked now. Fish enhancement grants, $700,000, this, I was directing the governor's figure on that, it's part of the renewable resources fund again.
All right.
I'd sure like to see their program. Is that for stream rehabilitation or what? Or is that to fund these regional?
That's what they.
This is nonprofit hash.
Nonprofit hash board. You guys are gonna be here 10 years from now, you see the damage messed up or something. Go ahead.
You have no problem with that coming out of renewable resources, right? We're shooting for it. Well, it's.
No, by God, to hell with it. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, Herb, what's it, you know, I'm a little out of that debate.
You're gonna take it out of the renewable resource bill?
That's part of that $10 million.
Right.
But.
How the hell would, I don't wanna.
Last year it was funded by general fund, and when the agency put together their budget this year, they showed it as funding with general funds. And then the governor changed it to be funded out of renewable resources. It's just part of that $10 million package that he's got.
Well, yeah, Ernie?
Jim, isn't that, if I remember the way the bill passed, it was $300,000 to, they got a grant, when they formed a regional corporation, they got a $300,000 grant and had the ability up to borrow up to $3 million in money. Apparently now they're gonna get the grants out of the renewable resource fund. I think there's something like $18 million in it right now.
Well, Ernie, we're in the, I guess, I question whether we ought to start spending the renewable resource fund until we've established a policy, and you guys are working on it now, aren't you?
We're working on it. We have a renewable resource bill in the permanent fund committee, a separate bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I call the committee's attention to the fact that the one you just changed with regard to tourism and the one on fisheries grants here are the only two items in the operating portion of the budget that are funded by the Renewable Resources Fund. The rest are either in separate legislation, special legislation, or the capital budget. So if you did want to make an adjustment here, you don't have to worry about it in any other category or anything like that.
Well, no, I think we ought to take a consistent approach here, Ernie. We ought to establish a policy for the use of the renewable resources fund, and isn't that what you guys have been working on?
Yeah, we're working on a bill down there that hasn't come up yet. But the original renewable resource bill, of course, the intent is a lot different than what we're talking about here. It was to fund things like the Fred Division budget and stuff like that, and also agriculture and timber. And I guess tourism got slipped in there at the last. But there's some defects in that bill, the fact that it cuts off at $250 million and is dead. Now, I worked with Jay and we talked about just rewriting the original bill so that if you drew off the principal, then you would automatically tap the severance tax for another 5% until you got that $250 million figured back. And then the interest was supposed to take care of these rehab problems. It never was intended to fund the private enhancement groups. I don't know. Whatever you say.
Okay, What I'd like to do then on page 41 is to move that back up to general fund column, at least for the time being, until the legislature has established the method that, it wants to, which it wants to proceed on the renewable resource fund. I so move that if there's no objection, we adopt that figure and put it in the general fund column.
Page 45, State Fair, you have your recommendation. The reason why this has gone up is because we increased grants for certain other ones, including past 10 years of revelation.
I have those grants all the same.
No, they vary on, after the state, after fair's been in existence 10 years, it goes up and jumps. I forget what the formula is, but.
I have a question. The various, should know, but I've been here since we started this thing. How do you just put some money in for a new location or a new locality that's going into the farming business and does a little fair? Or how is it, do you have to add them by a resolution, or we just add some money in the budget and they take off from there? Is that what we've done before?
Bob?
Mr. Chairman, any community can request an application from the agency and get considered for having a fair and getting a grant. One problem that you have is that they have to make this application by August, I believe it is, something like that, in the prior year, in order that they're going to do it. There's a deadline, I don't know what it is, but like if you're going to do a fair this summer, say, I don't think you can do it through the normal application procedure at this point for this year.
Then I have another question.
Yeah.
If we were going to try to start a fair next year, it would go in this budget, because then you have to make an application, have to go in from now from July to July of next year, because there wouldn't be anything, it wouldn't be a fair this year, but it would be in next year's budget. You'd have to put it, you'd have to crank it into this, to this, so you'd have to crank it into this budget, so it'd be there for a year from now.
Well, it was before July the 1st, you would, but I think otherwise, what you'd want to do is get an application in pretty quick for next year, because the agencies will be making up their 70 FY
80
budgets starting when? September or so?
Yeah, well.
So they'd want to get it in then. I think that's probably what would be the best way to proceed, unless they want to have a fair before the 1st of July, which I would imagine wouldn't be in the cards for most people.
Then you wouldn't crank it into this budget. You'd have to wait a year and crank it in the next one.
Yeah.
Well, I've had quite a bit of discussion with different people in Delta, and I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about, because they have been in the limelight, and they're coming more and more and more into one of the front runners as far as farming communities are concerned. And I've had some conversation with the Chamber of Commerce and some of the farmers and some of the people that would like to promote a state type fair for another year, not this year, not this summer, but the next year, and they wanted to know if I could crank in something to get them into an organizational stage for it. So it shouldn't be now. I'd like to crank some in and for this budget, and then let them make their application.
Man, I think it would be better to do it through, let them do their application to the fair association and that kind of stuff.
All right. Okay.
And then they can crank it in next time out. Unless they want to have the fair before July the 1st, which I doubt.
Well, the only thing I was thinking is, and I'm speaking favorably, and the only thing I'm thinking is perhaps they have to do some organizing. They might need a little, I don't know how you get these things off the ground, but you can't just put money in the next thing to fair.
Well, I mean,
wasn't going to be that way. They're fairly well organized, and they have their co-op and their city hall and the whole works. And I'll let it go for now, but I may be lobbying you next year for a little thing for Delta.
Okay. Is there anything further on State Fair? Okay, if not,
all right. Plant Material Center is the governor's figure.
Okay.
Next year, after that, we'll see that question. Page 49. Governor's figure, that's the Agriculture Development Administration support. There is one change there on the first form in the request column. Contractual figure should be 34.3 instead of 234.3. That's just a typo.
You gotta be spending that much. And same thing, you don't fund it, you 230.9 to the 430.9 in request dollars. Right?
Okay. Agricultural loan fund, governor's figure.
Native plant payment. Question, Mr. Chairman. What happens now with that, is this the fund that that built we have down there? Is this the fund that goes to $500,000 to put that agricultural revolving loan fund into? Is this the?
What, man? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's just administration of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes out of the revenue.
Okay.
Native plant payment, that's no longer reflected, that we put the street. Yes, past year. King crab quality control board, this is all out of program receipts, and we allowed the governor's figure. Local government assistance. Out of the three new positions, they recommended, two of them were already filled, they were approved by revised program. That's the two on the bottom, local government special was four, and the clerk type was three. They're over. Pardon? Okay. They're also requesting a new position, they're all on this, again. Anyway, we allowed it, it's the.
Clerk type is in Bethel.
Right, clerk type is three in Bethel. At 22.1 general fund, we allowed that. So actually, we come up with their wishes, the governor's recommendation. But two of them are already filled. Community planning assistance.
Can we go back then?
Sure.
What was the justification for the clerk type is known?
I don't have the red book here with me. The governor just allowed that one.